Well, good afternoon, everybody, and thank you, Tracy. The PFA we're looking at is Scott. Okay, the PFA we're looking at is for Scott. Okay, one more, a few more people coming in here.
Mike Welch.
Okay. If we look at last week's weekly update, it gives you the key targets on what to look for on a PFA. 86% of FranNet's clients are male, 79% are college-educated, 80% are married, average age is 49, income is about $153,000 you've got to replace, net worth is about $1,043,000. A belonger is 40% of our buyers, achiever 25%, emulators are 29%, and about 6% are societal. I also track first-time buyers, and I have 90% first time they ever bought a business. A working spouse is 70%, and the client being unemployed at 90%. So I always have these stats there. So when I'm looking at the PFA, I'm first looking to see how many criteria hit. Do we have any red flags that are jumping out at me? On here with Scott on the first page, he is male. He is 51, and he has a master's degree, and he's a first-time buyer. But he is divorced, so I will circle that and want to talk to him about how he's going to support himself during the first year. I will then go and look at his net worth, which is a little over $900,000, so it's close enough to the million. He is a belonger achiever, which is our true largest group, so I think that that is a good sign too. So overall, I'm seeing that this person is matching a lot of our key numbers of the people who are actual buyers. And I've been tracking these numbers for 19 years, so I know that they're pretty accurate when I see them come in. So I'm going over the PFA to make sure that I have most of the key characteristics I'm looking for. As you go down the front page, we ask, how do you know when you find the right business? He tells it's got to be the right properties for a personal fit. So I marked that as a question mark. Can you tell me more? Can we go into that a little bit more? He is willing to go full-time, which gives us a lot more choices. I will still show a semi-absentee as one of them, but three of them will be full-time. Please describe the important things, growth potential, operating efficiency, and personal enjoyment. So I have circled personal enjoyment. I want to know what he does for enjoyment. What is he looking for? Going on to the second page. He found the happiest when he had operational responsibility. So he likes to probably manage a lot of people, and he has good management duties. So I have circled those two or underlined those two that I'm going to probably bring that up when I'm windmilling back to him. His sales interest is a 9 and a 9, which usually is a very good sign, and he likes to ramp up business quickly by being out in the field, initiating contact. But his weakness is cold calling oriented sales. So I think that's a problem. All his signs are that he's a good salesperson, but he is a belonger. So that's triggering some concerns with me. So I have put a circle next to that. I'm going to talk to him about the problems that about cold calling, and if he's good in sales, what does he see about this? And generally when you see that kind of problem, it's someone who perceives themselves out knocking on doors and something they don't believe in. So you have to go back and take a step and say, you're not going to invest a dime until you really find the right business. You got to really believe in it before you could ever go out and write a check. So if you're going to write a check, you must believe in the business. Would you be comfortable selling it? On page 3, on the customer type desired, we want repeat. So that gives me a clue that we were looking for something possibly with scalability. You know, maybe a senior care, maid business. Good scalability. He is certainly comfortable with people. He has 10 plus. I want to make a note here that what type, skilled, unskilled. He's willing to put up about 100,000 plus. But down the bottom, he needs to see an income in 3 to 6 months, which is not good. So he is divorced, and he needs to see an income in 3 to 6 months. Those are my big red flags. I'm going to have to spend some time on in the interview talking to these folks and getting a little bit more detail what's going on here. Page 4 is the net worth. We see that there's $295 in the 401k, so I make a note to send him over to Benetrends after the meeting so we at least start looking at that and get that opened up a bit. on the clients at a glance page, he has checked off above, it comes back as above average, and he gave himself a 9. When I see a 9, I'm generally looking at someone who's high or very high. But I think he, being a belonger, probably the above average is more accurate. So I'm probably not going to show him something with heavy-duty sales, probably more towards marketing, managing more the consumer service than a business service. He's also looking on the line below. It's something between a single to a multiple unit. So I have circled multiple units in the kind of franchises I might be showing him. On the next page here, page 6, he's a belonger achiever, which is our largest category of FranNet buyers for the last 3 or 4 years, so that's always very good. I look at the chart to see if anything is equal. Right now, belonger is coming out pretty strongly over the other ones. An achiever is second with the societal and emulator pretty much equal. So I will probably focus more on the belonger qualities when I'm starting to windmill back. When I look at the value and motives, I focus more on the first three. The results is an achiever. Honesty and dependability are belonger values. I make a note to discuss these with them. I might pre-frame some questions about what kind of results you're looking for. Have you dealt with honest people? Can you help me out? And are you dependable? Or you're talking about needing dependability? But I'll put some questions together for that to find out more about it. On the next page where we have a director, I will go over this with them and his need to control and achieve and reminding him we're looking at franchises and they have a system and he has to be comfortable following a system. And sometimes a director, you just want to be careful with that. I want to make sure that we have at least that covered, at least have that conversation about a franchise, a system, a process. You need to follow the processes. On the next page, I circle director at the top, and I will go through all those points there before I meet with them just to make sure they're fresh in my mind and I'm not confusing with the other ones there. They're efficient, they're busy, they're very structured, makes fast, decisive goals, is goal-orientated. I just want to make sure I'm aware of these going up there. I note that he's systematic, so at the end, I will bring that up at the meeting when I have the steps to open a franchise, and I walk them through our 10, 12, 14 steps, going through one by one, I remind him that he is comfortable with systems and procedures, and here is the procedure or the system for investigating and researching a franchise. He's democratic, and most of the people we see are democratic, but I won't touch on that too much. He's good at marketing and service, and his sales, again, is a little bit below here. So again, I'm probably leaning more towards a consumer service, not as much a business service. I might throw in there a couple retails to look at or one retail to look at and test that. This person is toward. I want to know what their goals are, what they want to be in the business. I will ask a few different ways. Where do you want to be in 5 years? What are you trying to accomplish? What do you want from the business? He's external. Externals will need a lot more phone calls, a lot more coaching. They will need more frequent contact. Internals will fade from you quickly. They will sometimes think they're missing an action, but they're just doing their own thing. Externals need a lot of touches. They need the right direction. They need some feedback. And again, he's procedural, so we're going to lay out a lot of steps in the research. I'm going to spend some extra time on that. I'm going to windmilling. I'm going to tie it back into his desire to be more procedural, more efficient. He's specific, so we're going to get into a little too much detail. I'm going to have to keep reminding him that we work with about 100 franchise companies. We know them all at one level. He's going to have to get down and really spend some time talking to that. We will be getting him information on the companies, and that will cover a lot of the details. So I'm going to handle that up front before I start getting a lot of questions on the specifics. For the belongers on the business needs and businesses best suited, I will review this with the client. This is probably the most accurate for the belongers, and I also use this in my windmilling. This person is, again, once I will mention the historically proven system, strong head office support, credible management, extensive due diligence, Service-orientated, low sales. I will talk to him again about sales, make a question about that. Few employees, long-term relationships, low cost, low risk. I will pull probably 8 or 9 of these out that I will mark now, put a little line next to them. So I will start to windmill this back to them as I present, and I will keep coming back to this. I'll get him to buy in with that. On the risk avoidance suggestions, I'm looking for items here down below that I can use in the windmilling. With the extensive due diligence, possibly a family atmosphere, low cost, low risk, and again, something more conservative, with the increasing financials, looking for market share if possible. So I will pick out 4 or 5 things there that I'm trying to use in my windmilling back. So I've made a lot of notes as I go through here. So that starts the conversation when they're coming into the room. Let me take a break here and take questions on what I'm seeing versus what you might have seen. Any questions?
Hey, Jack, it's Welch.
Hey,
I've got a couple questions.
Okay.
Hey, thanks for doing this. I'd be interested, it might take a little bit of role play, but, you know, this guy is divorced. And you said, you're going to talk about that a little bit. You're going to talk about his need for income. And then the guy says he's got this 3 to 6 month bandwidth before he need, like, that's a pretty short ramp to start trying to get paid. So how are you going to, I mean, I'd really like to hear how you're going to get this guy engaged in this part of the conversation in a way that he's comfortable with. He's a belonger, right?
He's a belonger, right. So we're going to go to service. We're going to keep the investment to probably 1.25. I'm going to push him as hard as I can to find out if there's anyone else in the relationship. Is there a girlfriend out here? Is there a significant other? Is there a reason for the divorce? I'm going to then talk to him about what his cost of living is. My question is, what's your break even? What do you need to live day to day? What ages are your children? What do you need to provide for them? Do we have tuition coming up? So I'm starting to ask a lot of questions about his living expenses before, early on in the process, because that's the biggest red flag I saw when I went through this PFA initially.
So how do you do that with a divorced belonger that's got a 3-month ramp? I mean,
well, his balance sheet's fairly strong, and you got to get him comfortable that he's going to be spending some of that money on living expenses.
Right. Okay. And then you'd referenced his interest level was a 9. I track everything, right? My spreadsheets are ridiculous for this, to try to figure out what our ideal client looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And I've only had one client that was a 7 buy a business. No one who was ever below that, the perception of themselves, the interest level, was never below a 7. They're always 8s and 9s, and I've only had 1 7. Do you find what I found is that they're, what they put is pretty accurate. They're pretty serious about that number. Do you find that to be the case as well? Do you put a lot of stock in that?
No, I don't put any stock into it at all, Michael. I find that so many people are ignorant on what's out there, what's available to them. And as you start to talk to them and get them opened up, their interest level will climb.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Got to be some other questions out there. All right, so Scott's background was he was an investment banker. He was a managing director for UBS. He had a lot of operational responsibilities. He was making, as we mentioned earlier, over $400,000 a year. He had been out of work, though, for close to a year. He did have a significant girlfriend, and he had been helping her for 9 months, get her business off the ground. It was starting to do pretty well. He did want his own business at this point. There wasn't enough room to do it with her, so they were going to have 2 separate businesses. When we touched on the capital and I pushed into it, he said his expenses were low enough and that he did still have part of a severance package coming in, which he did not put on there. And he told me he had enough capital to live into 2018 and that if he needed more money for a bigger investment, he did have an aunt and uncle who are very successful in business, and he's had 2 conversations with them, and they said they would be willing to invest. So that was a couple of things that came out in the questioning. We talked about that. he was very comfortable with different types of employees. He had operational responsibility. I pushed a lot on the unskilled because consumer services, you're dealing a lot with that. He felt he could sell anything as long as he had a strong belief in it. And again, we went back into looking at the type of research he would do, the type of due diligence, the extensivity. And I, with the longers, I tend to push, you got to do a lot more due diligence. You got to get really into this. One other point is you need to know your language, your communication style. Everybody should have taken the PFA for themselves and know how do you speak. You know, I'm auditory. I'm very aware of that, and I'm doing workshops because 50-some percent of the people are visual, and they're also the kinesthetics like Scott is. And so you have to put a couple words down to remind you. I write kinesthetic on a lot of the pages of my notes, so I remember to use the words that we need to see for a kinesthetic as you're going through this process. You know, kinesthetics need a lot of concrete evidence. How does it make you feel? You know, things like that. You're talking about that. But each of them, make sure you have those words you need as you present and you're windmilling back into them. So you're taking as much from the PFA as you can to windmill back. You're doing it in their communication style. And the more you can use theirs that they've given you in the interview, the better it's going to be. Okay. All right, what do you think this person's doing right now? Any guesses? What kind of business he would look at?
Hey, Jack, this is Vic.
Yes, Vic, how are you?
Good, good. Did you talk to him about replacing his income? What's his goal?
Yes, we did, Vic. We spent a fair amount of time on that, and if he could get back to 250 in his fifth year, he'd be very comfortable with that.
Fifth year?
Yep. He just didn't have a lot of need. He goes back to $100,000 the second year, he'd be very happy. He knows that to make the $400,000, he has to go back to Wall Street. He's 51. He's not going back to Wall Street. He knows
that. Didn't he say earlier that he wanted to be – I thought he had a 3 to 6 month ramp, but he told you in the meeting he had a 4-year ramp?
You got it. As I said, when I see divorce and I say 3 to 6 months, that's one of the first things I drill down on is how are we going to live? And if I'm not getting the good answers, the meeting's going to be over pretty quickly.
Where'd all his money go?
He's divorced, Vic.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
he lost that fight, Vic.
Yeah,
all right. What I showed him was the semi-absentee was Menchie's, Assisting Hands, Express Services, and Pet Supply Plus, the four I showed him. He quickly ruled out the semi-absentee. He did not want to go back to Wall Street. It was not for him. He liked pet supplies, but he figured it would be at least 3 to 4 months in research to find the right business, 4 to 5 months to find a location, and then another few months to get it open. So he said, I'll be sitting here a year from now, and I'm not even started to open the business. So that went away. So we're going to focus on the service businesses. He did a lot of research into both of them. He had several conversations with both. He went to a discovery day this Monday and Tuesday for Assisting Hands. He signed his contract this morning with Benetrends. He's planning to do a 3-pack with them. He will be in the June training, he told me today. So I think that he's tracking very well. He's very positive. With three units, we had two other people buy in the past year. One was making about $750 for Morgan Stanley. He did 4 units. We had the director of operations of Credit Suisse do a 3-pack up in Bergen County for Assisting Hands. They validate very well. The guy up in Fairfield County, Connecticut, did $4 million in his fourth year. He went up and spent a couple days with that person. He probably talked to 10 or 15 of their franchisees. Feels very comfortable with his research right now. So not a done deal, but we're tracking well.
Yeah.
Well, good luck.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
I have a question, but because remember now, I'm a very newcomer. Mm-hmm. You talked about in the beginning of these statistics that you have coming out that says what is the profile of our average buyer.
Mm-hmm.
Where did you find that?
Last week's update. The weekly update you get every Friday. It was all in the last Friday.
And the
headquarters publishes that on a regular basis.
Oh, they have that. Okay. So I'm going to look in the documents coming with the update. Okay.
Yeah,
okay,
the last one. We could go Friday, not today, last week's.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is interesting to hear. I like to hear how these conversations are going. Since I'm coming from the other side, I am a school counselor. I need to unlearn some stuff and to learn some new stuff. And that is interesting.
Good. Well, if we can help in any way, let us know.
Yeah, thank you. Okay.
Other questions here?
Jack, this is Sarah.
Yes, Sarah.
Hey, do you always show four?
3 to 4.
Okay.
Occasionally I'll do a fifth one, but very seldom. If it's a real optional, they might want to see a fifth, but I try and keep between 3 and 4.
Okay.
Because the fourth one is generally some kind of semi-absentee I'm throwing out there.
Okay.
Even though they say they're a 9
they
to go ahead with it, I always have a semi-absentee in the back pocket.
Okay. Thanks.
Jack?
Yes.
A few of the things that he noted under things you want to avoid when considering a business
mm-hmm.
would kind of fly in the face of a senior care business, such as extreme difficulty in acquiring new clients, long lead time for positive cash flow, market saturation. How's he getting beyond that?
His valuation, he got through that pretty quickly. Once he started talking to the other franchisees who started in the last year here, they're not seeing that problem right now with market saturation. There's enough demand out here still for that. We've sold a lot of them, too. We sold a tremendous number of these over the last 4 years, but they're not feeling that. The biggest challenge that he hears from almost any of the ones we work with is the turnover of help. And if you're not comfortable managing people, I just tell them it's not for you. With the others, were not issues. Once he got into validation, they went away pretty quickly with this one. Express had very good validation, too. So between the two of them, it was coming right down to the wire. He has not told Express yet, no, but I think he's going to tell him this week, next week. He did put him on the back burner last week, but he hasn't said officially no yet. Okay, I guess if that's all the questions. Anything else, Tracy, I missed? Do you want me to cover?
Jack?
No.
Yes.
Jack, I do have a question.
Okay.
With the optionals, I do show 4 or once in a while 5, but invariably they will ask, well, what else is out there that you had thought about that you might have put on your list but didn't? How do you respond to that?
Well, you have to have the pre-frame in the seminar first. That
right.
Here's how we do this. We have one slide we put in called the business model. And there's a point in there when you start out with 3 or 4, and eventually you're going to start to drop them, then we replace it with one more. And as you drop one, we want to know what you like and you didn't like. And it's all aimed at optionals, to let them know there's lots of options. We represent lots and lots of franchises, but we have to manage the system, the process of how do you look at this. So we will continue to show you other franchises, but let's find out what you don't like, and let's find out what you like so we can get a better target each time. But you have to let an optional know that there's other choices they have out there, because if not, they're going on the internet and finding themselves.
Right. Okay. Very good. Thank you.
Okay.
I think we covered everything, Jack. Thank you very much.
Well, my pleasure.
Appreciate
Thank you for everyone listening.
Okay. Thank you, Jack.
Okay. Have a great weekend, everybody.
You too. Thanks, Jack.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jack.
Can I see?